Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. I'm up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, and right across from me, the church across from me has a signboard, and today the signboard says, "Listening is a holy gift." Now, I don't know about that, whether it is a holy gift, but I am very grateful to all of you who are listening to me because I am once again up in the captain's chair, and once again, we are funded. So my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people, all of you, but in particular, those who responded with a generous donation to the Voice of Bashan when we had Gift Big, which was last week. I did receive a couple of signals from Captain Joe's people who were thinking that when they heard Semper Paratus and I came up on the air, that they would hear my regular programming, but instead they heard some discussions about do-goods on the island. And I did about, I think I did five or six of them. They were all people that I knew. They were organizations that of which I was aware. And if you were disappointed that you didn't hear the regular programming, then today you will hear the regular programming. So many thanks, mahalo, and aloha to all of Captain Joe's people, and in particular those who helped to keep the captain up in the captain's chair on the Voice of Bashan. The binnacle list today does indeed include some crossings of the bar. Always sad for me, and more frequent as I continue to accumulate chronological years. I don't have any answer for this. I just have to, as I open my traffic every morning, sometimes it's pretty early in the morning because Sailor and Blossom hold reveille on me, sometimes as early as 2 o'clock during the midwatch. The midwatch, of course, is that time of most darkness and most danger for a ship at sea. Mary R. died on the midwatch. My mother died on the midwatch. And frequently now when I decide not to turn back in after filling whatever request that they have filed a chit for request mast, I open my traffic and more frequently than I like, there is a signal therein announcing the crossing of the bar of yet another one of my people. Thus, it has happened this last week, and in one case, it is the father of a friend, colleague, and much respected and admired person here on the island that I work with on, in particular, low tide celebration. Her dad is Guido. And Guido crossed his bar long before his time. Cancer. And I am awaiting the news of what recognition we're going to be making of that. Guido was a very professional marine architect. He and the company that he owned, Guido Perla Associates, designed a number and sent the drawings to skilled shipyards for a number of vessels, especially mid-size and smaller. And he retired maybe earlier than maybe he knew what was coming. In any case, along with that, two of my academy classmates in the last week. There are not many of us left. Soon, and I do not know who it will be, of course, but soon there will be a signal announcing yet another one of my classmates and also shipmates from my Vietnam time, maybe. Wherever it comes, it is always hard. It doesn't get any easier as the years go by. I am not, in my own case, proclaiming that it is time to be practicing the flag folding ceremony. But last week I had a run through with all of the people who helped to take care of me and helped to keep me up in the captain's chair. All of the numbers are pretty good, but we are going to do some further testing. And in the meantime, I remain foley-less. Mr. Foley is bobbing around in the wake along with the brash ice. And hopefully, he and I shall never meet again. I do, however, carry with me in both my sea bag that I check. It is a symbolic sea bag. It's really a Samsonite hard side bag. And also the flight bag that I take with me in the aircraft. I do carry with me just as a precaution and as part of repair one, the self-insertable ones, just in case something goes wrong while I'm in an aircraft and cannot get to the ground and cannot get to an ER. But I remain confident that this is not going to happen. And I am proclaiming it so confidently that I proclaim it here. So that's the binnacle list for today, a sad one for your captain. And yet, as with all people who have crossed the bar, I would not have wanted to miss it for anything. The 6th anniversary of Mary R.'s death is on the 1st of June, coming up soon. And I miss her every day, of course, but I would not have wanted to miss that for anything in the world, even if I had known what was going to happen. And that is what I commend to all of you, as each one of you who also are acquiring these chronological years, each one of you, as you consider your loss and your grief, also be grateful that we had that time and those adventures together. Last Sunday was Kite Day and Mother's Day, and there were several things that happened that are part of your captain's mission with this broadcast, to make everybody feel just a little bit better about themselves and the world in which we live. It was a great day, except that we didn't have a great deal of wind. My dragonfly kite needs about 15 knots, and we got nowhere near 15 knots during the day. So the dragonfly did not fly. And in any case, the dragonfly, whether it's a he or a she, I know not, but the dragonfly has a broken wing, which happened last year, and I still have not repaired it. I could do a field repair, but in any case, there wasn't enough wind to make that effort, and we had many, many people. I think we probably had between 500 and 600 people came for the day. And the Vashon Park District, with my friend and colleague Eric, who is the recreation manager for the park district, was there for the afternoon, and he brought with him 100 kites to give away, and they were all given away. There is nothing more enjoyable than to help a youngster get a kite up in the air and keep it in the air for the first time. The sense of triumph that they exhibit when we're able to do this for the first time ever for a youngster is a great thing to have happen. Another thing that happened was that I was giving tours in the lighthouse. I had a number of dogs come visit, and I gave away a lot of healthy dog treats from my friend Megan in Traverse City, Michigan. And a friend of almost as long as I've lived on the island, Kevin, came out. Kevin is the owner of an island business called Olympic Instruments. It's a little bit of a misnomer because Olympic Instruments does not sell any instruments, of which I'm aware. They do sell and are the agents for such things as Cunningham air horns. And Kevin, some years ago, donated a horn which we need to reconnect with an air supply so that people can hear what the foghorn sounded like before it was the kind of high-pitched tone one and not the really deep one that we like to associate with a proper foghorn. Kevin came out and stayed with me for a good part of the afternoon, and we had a chance to give up. Kevin and Paula came to my 90th birthday celebration, and Paula was one of those who had remarks to make when it was time for people who were so inclined to make remarks. And her remarks had to do with an impact that she felt that I had had on her life. She told a couple of stories about conversations that she and her husband Kevin and I had had and disclosed some facts about those conversations, which up to that point had been kept close aboard in my heart. The point I make here is that it was a remarkable little talk that she gave, and it struck to the core of many of the people that were there listening. I know this because several people told me that, and that it was helpful to them in their own quest for some kind of calm and peace. Kevin and Paula are always welcome with me anywhere, but in particular out at Point Robinson Light. One of the things that Kevin did, he was sitting next to me while I was sitting in the improvised captain's chair, and one of the things that he mentioned to a family group that had come up and wanted to hear about the lighthouses, he said, well, Captain Joe has a glacier named for him. And nothing would do but the people in this group went then on to Google Earth and found the glacier. I am happy to report that it is not diminishing in size. It is still completely ice-covered and still working as glaciers ought to be working. And then nothing would do but for me to tell the story about how it was that I acquired the naming of a glacier. I've told that story here on. I'm not going to take my time to do it again, although someday I probably will. Another family group came up, and there were the grandmother and the mother and the granddaughter, three generations. And after I had expressed my wishes and my hopes and my command, because Point Robinson Lighthouse is my last command, and after I'd expressed my wish and my hope and my command that the grandmother would have a great Mother's Day, and she came up to me and she said, Captain Joe, it's also my birthday. To which I replied, well, then do I also wish you the happiest of birthdays? And she said, and I lost my husband in December. That opened up a conversation among grandmother, mother, granddaughter, their spouses, and all of the other people that were gathered around. This was a kind of fallout and gather around. All of you Coast Guard sailors know how that works. The conversation that came out of that was how a widow deals with her grief, how a family deals with the loss of a father and a grandfather, And several people that were there to hear about Fresnel lenses became involved in the talk about the management of grief. It was the kind of thing that happens very frequently out at Point Robinson when I do my talks, when I do my tours. We often break away from the intricacies of the Fresnel lens and how it works, and Augustine Fresnel and Point Robinson light, quick flash 2 every 12 seconds, white, visible for 15 nautical miles. We get away from that and we get into other things. And so we did a couple of times on that day. I will not be doing the tours this coming Sunday because I will be in Amsterdam, but I will be doing them every Sunday in which I am in town. And hopefully I can generate a volunteer to come and learn how to do it and then go port and starboard with me. But it was a great day. I missed last week because we were doing Give Big. I missed the recognition of Victory in Europe Day, which is on the 8th of May. I do so here because I have two reasons. The first one is that the book this week is Tom Brokaw's book called The Greatest Generation. It is not the best written book, I think. My standards on the quality of syntax and grammar are really high. And I think that that more effort could have been put into this particular book. However, it is a wonderful exposition of the people who served in that greatest generation, and in particular in World War II. There is a chapter in there called Women in Uniform and Out. And I am moved to tell a story about my own woman in uniform, and that was my Aunt Margaret. I'm going to take a few minutes on this because, first of all, it's a great story, and secondly, it is a recognition of the women who served. In the Coast Guard, they were called SPARS, SPARS. In the Navy, they were called WAVES. In the Army, they were called the Women's Army Corps, or WAC. And I think in the Marine Corps, they were called Women Marines. In any case, my Aunt Margaret was a member of the Women's Army Corps, the WAC. And when she died, she, in the fullness of time, did not have a military funeral, but she did have a flag over her coffin. I think that when she died, I was still on active duty, and I think I was deployed. But in any case, I did not go to the funeral, but I had seen her. A week or so before she died. And I knew that the Army knew that she was about to cross the bar, and I knew that there would be a flag for her coffin. Her story, though, is an extremely interesting one because she worked in the State Department all of her life. She was a biographical intelligence officer. In other words, she studied the biographies of people in other countries, and she spent a great deal of her time in Paris. She was in Paris and living with a French family before World War II, and when the Germans occupied Paris in 1940, She was evacuated and she went into the Women's Army Corps. During her time in the Army, she served as an intelligence specialist. She was enlisted. And she was, when the Germans were expelled from Paris and Paris was liberated in 1944, she went back and she went back into the embassy. She remained on active duty in the Army until she was demobilized in 1945. And she then returned to Paris, and she was in Paris in 1953, working as a biographical intelligence officer in the embassy in Paris in 1953, when I, as a third-class cadet, was on my first long cruise to Europe. If you had a relative in any place that Eagle touched, you were allowed to go and stay with that person. And so when Eagle landed in Le Havre, I was given leave to go to Paris and stay with my Aunt Margaret. She lived with a French family at 4 Rue de Berry, just off the Champs-Élysées. I fell in love with Paris and with the Parisians on that visit. I was taken in hand by the other residents of the flat at 4 Rue de Berry. By the way, a parenthetical insertion here. Every time I go to Paris again, I go to 4 Rue de Berry to see if it is still there. It is, of course. And it is next door to the Hotel California, which was the drinking headquarters of many of the people who worked for the Paris edition of the Herald Tribune, which was then across the street. I was taken in hand by the residents of that flat and was shown parts of Paris that were known to Parisians, but not to tourists. The matriarch at 4 Rue de Berry was Madame Demy. Madame Demy was at that time 80, and I fell in love with her. When the Germans tried to take over her flat, she said she wasn't moving, and she didn't, and they left her alone. And she stayed in that flat all during the German occupation. The other residents of that flat would go out to the countryside and bring food back in because Paris was dependent on food being brought in from the outside. There are a lot more stories to all of this. I tell this about my Aunt Margaret to honor, first of all of the people in the greatest generation, what Tom Brokaw defined as the greatest generation, and in particular to honor all of the women who served. And then within that framework, to honor my own Aunt Margaret. Not only did she have a great influence on, she was my mother's sister, by the way, Toots's sister. And she was the daughter of Dr. Caton, who was one of the great influences for good in my very early life. There are a lot more stories about all of this, and I am only bringing that up here because I want to tell the story of my Aunt Margaret, to honor her, to thank her for one of the first great adventures of my life, and a love affair that started when I was 19 and continues to this day. Whenever I go to Europe, I always try to go to Paris, even if it's only for a couple of days, and always to go to number 4, Rue de Berry, just off of the Champs-Élysées. The business of piracy off of the coast of Somalia. It is flaring up again. And it is, I think, all connected with the activities in the Strait of Hormuz. Even though they're far apart, the Navy fleet is being stretched pretty thin. I don't know where our Coast Guard cutters are. I have not gone on to marine traffic, although I did go on to marine traffic today. And I have a reason for going on marine traffic today. And that is that there's a ship in my anchorage. Talk about that in just a minute. But the other thing I need to report is my boat Maduri, my Cal 29. She has to be moved because the owner of the slip I've been subletting needs it today or tomorrow. And I have found a slip in the Quartermaster Marina. I bring this up because the manager of the marina, Lisa, has been so helpful in helping me get a place where I can leave Midori until the yacht club comes up with a permanent berth for me. In one of the messages from Lisa, where we worked out the arrangements for this, she said, it will be an honor to have you and Maduri with us. It may not be such an honor should Maduri sink at the slip, but I have a bilge pump, and that bilge pump has a float switch. I have tested both out, and they work as advertised, so I don't think I'm going to embarrass either myself or Maduri by having her sink at the berth number Bravo 16, which will be our new address for at least several months. I proclaim herewith that I am enormously grateful to the Quartermaster Yacht Club for having a slip that I can put her in and that we're going to be safe and snug there until I can have a permanent slip at the Quartermaster Yacht Club. Marine traffic today tells us that the ship that's at the anchorage off of Captain's Quarters is named Pan Pegasus under the Liberian flag, and she's painted orange. She's a bulk carrier. She's 7 years old, and she is light in ballast and waiting for a berth alongside the bulk loading dock in the port of Tacoma. I like having her out there. I know that she's not making money for her owners until she can move, but in the meantime, welcome to Pan Pegasus. Navy Times today has a big article about the state of shipbuilding. There's been a lot of noise and action and kerfuffle about the improving of the shipbuilding situation in the United States. I remain skeptical until I see icebreakers with commissioning pennants flying and they're being actually at work in the ice, in the deep ice off of McMurdo, while our Polar Star is given an honorable retirement. May it come soon. The other thing is the announcement that the battleship to be built is going to be nuclear powered. I doubt that we will ever see, nor maybe we shouldn't ever see, those battleships. The Captain's Omega Watch tells me that it is yet once again time for me to say that we never say goodbye. Until we meet again, I will not be broadcasting next week because the panel board in the Gene Boss studio is going to be completely changed out, and there will have to be a training program for your captain to make sure that I don't screw it up. And the alternate studio is not set up to take my calls from Amsterdam. So there will be no call. There will be no from the captain's chair next week. Take a stand down. Take it easy wherever you are. And in the meantime, this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly.